And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. As I turn my headphone volume up, I haven't a clue what we're going to talk about today exactly, because you never know what the phone calls are going to be, and somebody may have a question or a comment, so I sure want to be ready to deal with that in an encouraging sort of way. All that matters is that you're wanting to improve yourself, and you want to learn information, and you're just like me. We are seekers. We're looking for wisdom and knowledge. I'm going to read an article to you this morning, and I'll try to make it real quick. But I tell you what I want you to do as I read this, I want you to think of ways that you can put this into action. Okay, this comes from, the title of the article is Adults Demonstrate Modified Immune Response After Receiving a Massage, and it comes from Cedars Sinai Research, 7th of September 2010. Okay. It doesn't matter where the rest of it comes from, but that's it. That's my reference point. You know, one of the reasons why, and you may not realize this, but one of the reasons why I try to quote where I get this information from is there has been such a tremendous negative bias against anybody that does anything that might be counter to prescribing drugs to treat each and every malady. You have a toenail fungus, I give you a drug for it. The problem is it destroys your liver and your kidneys, and you're left dead about 30 years prematurely before you're supposed to be dead. Okay? But they have studies showing it's very effective. Just like they have tremendous studies showing, and you know, the only criteria by the Food and Drug Administration for allowing a chemotherapeutic drug to be released and prove it's effective is if it can shrink a tumor. And so if they can measure a tumor at 5 centimeters and they give 35 rounds of a chemotherapy drug that's brand new on the market, and it shrinks the tumor by 1%, so it's 4.99 centimeters, oh, they just jump up and down. I think that's the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's just a crying shame that the person died while they were taking the chemotherapeutic drug. Oh, I know I'm a horrible person today, but I'm going to have a go at it. I want to be good. The other day I had a face-to-face conversation with a medical doctor, and I can't tell you all the details about it. It would just take too long, but here's was the situation. He told me directly to my face, he said there's a high risk, or there's a tremendous risk of infection when you have the membrane that holds all the amniotic fluid in a woman's womb in place, but if that breaks... Because I asked him specifically, I said, what are the numbers on this? He says 20% of the women that have the membrane break prematurely are going to have some type of devastating infection. And I said, 20%? Really? He said, yeah, look it up. And so I looked it up, and the first article that I read demonstrated that they compared women whose membrane broke, you know, the water, their water broke, before they went into labor, and they followed them for 4 to 5 days, and there was absolutely zero difference, meaning there was not a 20% increase of infection. There was zero. Of course, that's medical research. All right, let me read this to you right here. Massage feels good, and now new evidence shows it is good for your immune system. Researchers at the Cedars-Sinai Medical Center's Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Neurosciences in Los Angeles reported, based on their systematic investigation of a large group, that Swedish massage triggers measurable and beneficial changes to both the endocrine and the immune system responses. The researchers recruited 53 physically and mentally healthy volunteers and divided them into two groups. Now, they didn't say this came from Los Angeles. How did they find 53 physically and mentally healthy volunteers? I don't know, but they did. I'm sorry. I'm only joking. 29 of the volunteers received 45 minutes of Swedish massage, while 24 received 45 minutes of light touch massage. All the participants were fitted with intravenous catheters. That means they inserted a needle so they could draw blood anytime if they wanted to, during, before and after the massage. Results showed significant increases in the numbers of lymphocytes. Those are white blood cells that are key players in immune system responses. Isn't that interesting? touching your wife, massaging her, touching a daughter or a child. I had a child come up to me and say, "Dad, my ankle hurts." So he let me kind of rub his ankle for a while. It says there was also a large decrease in the hormone arginine vasopressin, which is believed to play a role in aggressive behavior. You think anybody else has in the world has that hormone going through their body? Okay, I'm guessing there are. Maybe they need a hug. The hormone arginine vasopressin is believed to play a role in aggressive behavior and linked to increases in the stress hormone cortisol. A decrease in cortisol levels and a decrease in inflammatory cytokines, which are immune system mediators, according to Mark Rappaport, MD. He's a chairman of the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Neurosciences, noted, and I'm quoting him, "People often seek out massage as a part of a healthy lifestyle, but," and this is just his words, "there hasn't been much of a physiological proof of the body's heightened immune response following massage until now." See, that's what gets me about all this. You know, all of us want information because information allows us to make better choices, and sometimes the information is incomplete. But, you know, people are always looking for information that's insightful and gives them proof positive that what they're doing is the right thing. And I like that. I mean, doesn't the Bible say in Hosea that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge? Or from a lack of knowledge? Yeah. Information's good. But it seems to me that there is such a tremendous negative bias against anything that's relatively cheap and effective, like massage. They say, well, we don't have enough studies. Well, wake up and smell the roses, folks, because there is no drug company that's going to spend $700 million on research to figure out if massage helps ease pain stress hormones. No. But they will spend that kind of money on a drug called Prozac or Xanax or Geodon. And, yeah, if it creates tremendous profits for their shareholders, yeah, you may have a study on that. All right, if you want to join me on the radio this morning, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. Otherwise, if nobody calls, I have another article that I'm going to read to you, but I just totally dig this. I am totally all over this action, but I'm going to go to the phone lines first. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
I am just fine. Just a moment. Let me get away from the radio.
Sure, thanks.
I have a question that isn't even on the agenda.
Oh, well, that doesn't matter to me at all.
Okay. Lately, I've been having trouble with extremely dry mouth in the middle of the night, to the point of pain. What causes that?
Well, tell me more about yourself. Do you have an ideal body weight? Do you have any drugs you're taking?
No, I don't take any drugs.
Is there any history of diabetes in the family?
No.
Okay. Do you have?
In my in-law families and stuff like that, yes, but not in mine directly.
Oh no, you can catch it from your in-laws. I guarantee you. No, I'm joking about that. Are you really thirsty to the point where you get up and drink water?
Well, I took a cup of water last night thought maybe that would help. I had it by my bed, and I took some, and I think it helped a little, but it's almost to the point of pain, like it's going to crack.
Well, sure, you know? But do you actually have good bowel movements and good quality urination?
Yeah, I'm in good health.
Okay,
other than maybe in the last few months, I've been having headaches, like sinus.
Well, you know what I started to say, and this is just what popped in my mind. It doesn't mean I'm right or wrong about this. Uh-huh. But I would say for the most part, if a person sleeps at night and they wake up and they still feel like they're just a little bit tired, I start thinking about the liver. Or if a person wakes up in the morning, it takes them a little bit more than, 30 minutes to feel like that they're awake and ready to go, I start thinking the liver is a little bit sluggish. But to me, that is another additional common little juicy tidbit of information that a person is going to tell you. When their liver's just a little bit sluggish or a little bit underperforming, is they wake up with a dry mouth or they're thirsty in the night.
Okay.
Just a clue. Doesn't mean I'm right about that.
I believe I have good liver, other than the fact I used to take statins, and I totally got off that a couple of years ago. But I'm
well,
I don't
that,
catch up.
That
when
be...
I wake up, I'm awake. I'm ready to go.
Well, I just gave you different options. I mean, obviously, uh-huh. You're not emotionally irritable or cranky when you wake up in the morning, are you?
No.
You're like the happiest person everybody in your family knows, right?
Oh, they hate me.
Don't you mean to say they're jealous? No, I'm only joking about that. But I obviously, the more clues that you give me about your body, the easier it is for me to kind of guide. You know, I mean, you're trying to... The job of the patient or the individual is to guide the doctor or the physician where the problem is. And so I
am a mouth breather, but I always have been.
Well, I know you have been, but I can tell you this. Your oxygen saturation is going to dip in the middle of the night, and that's not a good thing. And so what happens is you're going to start stimulating more diuretic hormone, and you're going to have to urinate more in the middle of the night, and that's going to go through your water. You're telling your body, when you're a mouth breather, you're telling your body, dump water. It's a little bit stress on your pituitary and your liver and your kidneys.
Okay, up until I'm 75, by the way.
By the way, there is a cure for mouth breathing.
Well,
it's called duct tape. Go ahead.
anyway, for years I was getting up two or three times a night, and I was just noticing the other night that I slept through the night two or three times. I don't know. What do I do? What can I do to keep it? Because when I get it, I start stimulating it, and then I flow. My mouth just floods.
All right. Well, I don't have all the information, but I'm still going to have a go at this.
Okay.
One thing that you might want to do is you might want to get on YouTube today just for kicks and just read how to retrain your body to breathe through your nose at night instead of your mouth. If you can do that, you have a gland right there at the base of your brain or the base of your skull called the pituitary gland.
Mm-hmm.
And the pituitary gland, I would just soon just have an easy go at this and not have to work overly hard. But if you're having to get up two or three times a night to urinate, I know that's the past, but if you have a dry mouth, maybe there's some pituitary stress, because that's one of the great regulators of fluid levels in the body. Have you ever heard of the pituitary before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So it releases all these very unique hormones that regulate how your body heals and repairs itself. But if we can correct the mouth breathing, then we are in business. Then you can take a lot of stress off your system.
What do I take for the pituitary? I mean, I take zinc.
Well, what I'm suggesting is if you get on YouTube and just look up videos, how to breathe through your nose at night, because I can't spend 3 hours explaining all the different exercises and techniques.
Right.
But, you know, for
just
some people, though...
retraining my body.
Yes. And there's a great value in doing that, because you'll take a lot of the stress off that one fluid balance system by doing so. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not normal to wake up 3 times a night to pass your urine. Your body's doing that for a reason.
Well, I drink is 2 cups of coffee in the morning. And then the rest of the time, it's either cranberry juice or water with lemon, you know.
And all of those can be very, very good things. And so
yeah.
I'm trying to figure out, why are your kidneys dumping urine in the middle of the night instead of resting and sleeping right along with you? You're really not supposed to get up at night at all to urinate. Anyway, that's just an idea. But if you could retrain, then what you'll do is you'll take inflammation off your circulatory system. Your lungs will be have an easier go of it. You'll rest deeper and better. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with you, but mouth breathing is not good for the human body.
Mm. Okay. Okay.
So as far as the pituitary goes, there's a lot of herbal... Now, I don't know that I've seen this myself in 30 years, but there's a lot of people, they believe in using their... I'm just trying to tell you something that you can find easily. There's an herb called Gotu Kola or Ashwagandha. It does... Both of those can have a profound... I mean, I can read the research, but usually I think of Ashwagandha instead of using Gotu Kola for the pituitary. But I was reading the other day that there's a lot of people in the herbal community, They believe in using Go-To Cola.
Okay, and those, I can get it to help food store.
Yes, ma'am, you sure can.
Oh, I do appreciate you.
You're welcome. Thank you for your phone call.
Can I ask a quick personal question?
Personal? Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
Well, what's your father's name?
Well, my name is Roy Allen Morgan III.
Okay, so it's not Roger.
No.
No, I know
Roy
Roger
Allen
Morgan,
Morgan
in the Army. I was just curious, and their kid would have been the same age as you are. So.
Yeah, that's right. Well, thank you very much.
All righty.
All right, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Of course, he would have been 15 years older than you. Anyway. All right, if you want to join me on the radio for a question or comment, please feel free to call 903-586-5257. Here we go. Good morning and welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Thanks for your call today.
Yes, I'm so excited I got through.
Yeah, you did. I'm all yours. I'm totally devoted to you now.
I have kind of an odd question, and I really don't know if I'm sure you can answer it. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I'm 29.
Oh, thank you.
I'm 29. I have two kids. And I have a method of birth control with an IUD called Mirena. And I was going to ask your opinion about it. I've had it for about 17 months.
Do you have any gallbladder problems?
No.
Okay.
I'm perfectly healthy. I don't take any prescriptions. I'm pretty natural. You know, I juice almost every day, so I try to stay completely natural. And I'm just, I don't know, lately I've been pretty uneasy about having a foreign object in my body.
Well, do you have some type of a sense that maybe it's causing a problem or could lead to a problem?
I know when I got it put in, I started having more adult acne.
Wait, repeat that again. Your eyes started what?
No, I'm sorry. I started having adult acne.
Yes, okay, I'm sorry. I totally misinterpreted what you said. I've got you.
I'm sure I was mumbling.
Well, you know, the reason why I asked you about the gallbladder is I saw a woman recently, and she was having all these horrible gallbladder symptoms. And when she went to the doctor, they said, "You got no choice. We got to do surgery on this right here." Now, obviously, I like it when people give me information, but she says, "I have this birth control IUD called Mirena." And when I examined her, and I can't go into all the details, it just take too much time to tell you how I derived my conclusion. But when we tested her, it was like, no, the body does not like this at all. And so she took that information, and she promptly went to the doctor the very next day, had it removed. And guess what happened? All her symptoms in the gallbladder just kind of mysteriously cleared up instantaneously. Now, what does that tell you? But if you have acne, then there's going to be some degree of a hormonal issue. It's just going to be a question of what that is. So anything that might alter female hormone production or... Actually, here's what I really want to do. If I told you that your liver is the organ system in the body that's really completely responsible for keeping all your female hormones in balance, and what I mean by that is this. If you have a situation like a IUD that's secreting hormones...
Right.
And the hormone levels go up in your bloodstream, then it's your liver that has the responsibility or the task to try to help lessen those hormones so it won't have a side effect. And this would just be one example. It doesn't have anything to do with you. If a woman has had a diagnosis of breast cancer, the doctor says, "Oh my goodness, we have the greatest drug of all time. It's called tamoxifen. We want you to take this for the rest of your life because it's been shown to..." But there's side effects for that. The moment the woman starts taking the tamoxifen, she might go, why am I passing blood and I'm not really cycling? I'm not in the fertile years any longer and I've got blood gushing out of me like there's no tomorrow. Well, it's the tamoxifen. But it's a relative conversation because the liver, when it's up to speed and it's working efficiently and it's performing the way that God intended it, then bingo, it can keep those hormone levels in balance. Another thing that I think of is... Your thyroid is a great hormone-producing gland. We can't live without it, really. I don't recommend that we try. But what happens is you have a form of a hormone called T4 that comes from the thyroid. Your body wants to convert T4 into T3. T3 is the one that makes most women feel really, really good emotionally when it's just spot on and at a good level. But guess where that takes place? That takes place within the liver. And so your liver is working 24 hours a day at monitoring your hormone levels along with the hypothalamus and the pituitary, and they're trying to have a go at this to keep you in good working order. So whatever your body does, it's doing so to help improve you. So if you have acne once you start taking a drug or the IUD called Mirena, then we got a couple of three things at play here. Either we have A, the liver is just not able to keep that in check, meaning the hormones are exerting a stronger potential than what they should because you're not able to remove them from circulation as fast as you should. Or maybe B, which might be a combination of A and B, all of a sudden now you're getting higher levels of androgens, and so these are going to be similar to male hormones, but you're not an 18-year-old boy that has pimples on his face, right? Obviously, you're not an 18-year-old boy that has pimples because of male hormone. Sorry, I said that way too fast.
Yeah.
But if you saw some acne, I tell you what, there's going to be some stress on the female reproductive tract.
Right.
And you know what? You know who my allegiance is to? It's to you. Totally to you. I don't even consider, if your doctor tells you, well, that's really not a big deal, but I can tell you this. All the doctors that all they do all day long is work the ERs, I bet you I know what they say to themselves. Oh, great. Here's a woman that she's got a clot in her calf or she's got a clot in her lung. What birth control is she taking? Or if a woman comes in and she's had a stroke, I bet you the ER doctor says to themselves, great. What hormone replacement therapy is she on? Because you don't see it otherwise.
Yeah.
I would say gallbladder surgeries are one of the top surgeries that keeps hospitals up and running and, you know, keeps them in the black financially. But you probably don't even see those half the time. I bet you half of those are only because a woman's taking a hormone. It's been my experience, just because I'm so good at asking questions. I go, ma'am, did your doctor tell you that you could have, gallbladder problems or a risk of stroke? Never. It has never happened in 30 years. I keep waiting for the magic patient to walk in the door and say, yes, this is what my doctor told me. He's going to put me on this IUD, but he explained thoroughly that I have a risk of having a deep blood clot in my lungs or heart or brain. No, that never happens. All that just kind of quickly escapes, any scrutiny or attention. Anyway.
Well, it is very, it has been very hard for me to find any information, educational information on the IUD, whether it be positive or negative.
Well, you see what? The information I'm giving you totally is not what I call research at all. I'm just telling you I've had women come to see me, and all of a sudden all their symptoms improved like gangbusters, like, wow. Now I know what that was doing to me. So that's just an observational idea.
Okay.
Sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, not at all. I just, it was kind of more of a call to get a reassurance on whether or not it should be removed,
Well, and, okay, if anybody understands your situation, I think that I do. I'm not going to tell you exactly how many number of children that I have in my possession right now, but we may have a few more than what I actually planned for, so I understand that you're just telling me I'm really not in a place where I need to have five more kids. Is that right?
My husband and I really don't want another. Our 18-month-old was unplanned, so...
Well, I have no experience with that. No, I'm only teasing. But, you wouldn't take for the 18-month-old now.
Mm-mm.
Is it a boy or girl?
It's a boy.
Really? What's his name?
Josiah.
Are you... Really? Josiah?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, that's one of the most remarkable stories in the Old Testament, but what it really
gets...
Well, it's one of my favorites. I love it, and the kids love it, too, every time I read it to them. But I just hate the idea that Josiah had this untimely death. But you know what? I'm not responsible for that. The Pharaoh told him, don't do it. Don't go into battle. But anyway, he did anyway.
I'm a very natural, healthy person, and this is the second time I've had it. I was much younger when I had it the first time. It was very new back then, but I think that I just kind of want to get back to that healthier state. And I was going to ask you what you thought, what vitamins, supplements I should be taking. I don't...
Well, just in a nutshell, let me just kind of cover some basic stuff, and I won't go into a lot of detail, but you've got to have both zinc, magnesium, and potassium to help balance female hormones. So at least those will be easy things to take a look at. And I'll just kind of give you a rundown real quick. If somebody tells me they can't relax at night and it's hard to fall asleep, I think magnesium. If they are laying in bed and they turn their leg the wrong way or foot the wrong way and it leads to kind of like a mild cramp starting, but if they change the foot position, it goes away, I think magnesium. If your eyelids kind of twitch and blink a little bit, you know, uncontrollably, which is kind of annoying sometimes, you start thinking about magnesium. But then again, this ain't rocket science, baby. This is looking at all the research that medicine and the U.S. Department of Agriculture has done is people have tremendous magnesium deficiencies. So it's to me, it's a no-brainer. If you want your body to work right, we may want to give it magnesium to help it do that. That's all. All I'm saying is just feed your body the very thing it needs to function optimally, and you should get a good payoff. So there's magnesium right there.
I was taking a supplement. I don't know if you've ever, I'm sure you have. It's an Ayurvedic herb, Shilajit. It's supposed to have a bunch of, trace minerals.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you heard of it? I loved it.
Well, no, but to make a long story short, trace minerals are the rate-limiting factor to make sure hormone production is perfect.
Right.
And so all these women out there, I wonder how many doctors said, now, ma'am, let me explain this to you. Without magnesium, zinc, and potassium, you're never going to reach your full hormone potential. So we really need to talk about a good, healthy diet today. No, the opposite's true. I ask patient after patient, what did your doctor tell you about your blood test? What did it say about this number being low? So like on a laboratory test, there's one particular marker called alkaline phosphatase. Sometimes it's just ALK and maybe a P on the outside, and it's just a standard blood chemistry. It's nothing elaborate or fancy. I bet you if you have 100 people that are listening to the radio program right now, which my estimations say it's more like 7 people listening, because I'm doing research right now, I have 7 listeners.
Really?
So, yeah, so I'm trying to work on improving how I do this so I can get 8. 8 is my goal for next week, and that's technically, that's a 10% improvement, and I'll take it.
I love listening to your show.
Well, thank you. But when you look at trace minerals, they play a very profound role in helping tremendous hormone expression. You can't do it without it. I remember when they used to do human I remember reading about it. But back in the I'm not that old, but in the 1930s, what they did was they tried taking men off all sodium, and you know what? It was a complete failure. They didn't want to get up and do anything, and these were all college athletes. They began to languish. They weren't interested in doing anything. They had no ambition and drive and motivation. They just wanted to stay at mom's house and play video games all day long. Wait a second. Oh, this was 1931. This is before video games. But it's very.
They didn't have a TV.
Yeah, but I tell you what, if you have a person who their sodium level starts to dip, they will become completely disoriented. They may wake up at 8 o'clock at night and say, "It's 8 o'clock in the morning, time to go to work." And I'm going, "No,
I've done that before."
Well, but you know, but that's just one example. But zinc is one of the most important issues, and so one of the things that birth control pills are after is they're trying to increase. I'm going to call them progestins, kind of a synthetic artificial progesterone.
Yeah, this is all that. This birth control
exactly
is just that.
Yeah, but the problem is they did not explain to you that your body can take that progesterone and convert it downstream into cortisol. And when cortisol is a stress hormone. Now, I know that you don't know this, but I do because I've experienced it. I know exactly what it's like to be calm and joyous and happy and feel good on the inside. But then again, I've had surges of cortisol because of emotional stress. And I might feel just a little tense on the inside or just a little stressed. I'm probably the only one that's ever experienced that in the radio audience, but that would be cortisol right there. So if a person is just dead, bone tired, and they lay down in bed, but they still can't fall asleep even though they're exhausted, that's cortisol. Cortisol does that, and that's a stress hormone. That was the entire article that I read about how massage helps lower cortisol. So if you're really stressed, your husband's responsibility is to rub those knots out of your muscles, right?
Yes.
I know what your husband's thinking right now, and he's probably not listening, but you can just relay this to him as if he were listening. If he starts rubbing your back and it helps you, he's probably thinking, I don't even need a Father's Day present. I don't want her to say thank you. Just let me serve my wife. That is the greatest present of all. I will give her a massage, and I will cook lunch and breakfast, and I'll serve her breakfast and bread tomorrow morning on Father's Day.
You should be listening to this.
To say, thank you, sweetheart, for giving me a man baby named Josiah.
Oh, he looks just like him.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
He did rub my shoulders before I went to bed last night because I had to get up at midnight and go to work. So
you got up at midnight to go to work?
Yes, and he was so nice to rub my shoulders, and I slept so good.
I like him already.
He's a sweetheart.
So you're looking at magnesium and zinc. I'll just throw in potassium, but you know, if you eat avocados and real stuff, you'll get all that. The other thing that I would think of is I think that vitamin C is probably more important than what we realize. And without vitamin C, you would be dead. I mean, there's a disease called scurvy. All the joints start to break down. People bleed and hemorrhage. I can promise you right now, you and I could go into Walmart, and we could just observe the hands and the arms of every person that walks, or what I should say is limps past us, and we'd see these purple blotches up and down their arm. You ever seen people that have blood under their skin?
I do.
Yeah.
I see it quite often, actually.
See, and that would be proof to me this person's not getting enough magnesium. They're certainly not getting enough zinc. The last time I checked, every growth hormone that repairs the body, it needs a little bit of zinc to work right. So the question is, what happens to human beings when they don't get the very thing they need to keep their body and cells in good working order? Well, they start having problems. The other thing that I can tell you just very, very simply, if you don't remember anything else I'll say this morning, I'm going to say this. Probiotics, probiotics, probiotics. And in the real world, that could look like yogurt or kefir or kefir water or kombucha or sauerkraut or olives. If you get natural sausage, that's highly fermented. Some people do well with cheese, some people don't. I don't really think about it that much. If you do well with cheese, eat it. If you like sauerkraut,
really.
You like pickles?
Kombucha. I love kombucha. I love it. It's so good.
Wait a second, ma'am. I just got a text. It says you have 9 listeners. Kelly and I listen, so I have a confirmation that I'm up to 9 today.
Yay!
So if
good
you'll,
for you!
If you'll just consider those things... Oh my goodness, you're just 29. You're like a young, beautiful babe. You need to live for at least 70 more years of hard manual labor raising babies and grandkids.
I agree. Is there, before I get off the phone, is there a specific vitamin, like, I don't really want to take anything. I want to take pure vitamins. Like, I don't want synthetic. I read an article the other day about synthetic versus natural. I'm sure you know all about it. But is there like a specific brand of zinc, magnesium?
Well, what you can do is you can look at the label of it, and it says something like zinc oxide. That's just been strictly stripped of mine. They just lay a lot of dynamite charges in a large area of land. They blow it, and they put it on conveyor belts, and they separate out the magnesium from the iron ore and zinc ore and everything else. That's an oversimplification, but that's not my favorite.
Mm-mm.
So when you have magnesium in the soil, so let's just say somebody has tomato plants and they look at them and they go, you are just a little bit pathetic. You call yourself a tomato plant? You haven't really produced anything for me. And their sweet dear grandmother might say, why don't you go to Walmart or the store and buy a little bit of Epsom salt and sprinkle just a little bit of magnesium sulfate around the tomato and see if it makes it very, very happy. And lo and behold, all of a sudden, the little tomato plant that couldn't is all of a sudden the tomato plant that I think I can. Look, I just produced 20 tomatoes for you. But when you get magnesium that's been processed from the soil into the plant does something very amazing to that. So, yes, you know me well. If you've listened to me for a while, I have a very, very strong bias. I am totally biased against drugs that destroy the body and cause young, beautiful young women to have strokes or blood clots or make them at risk to have breast cancer or ovarian or uterine cancer. Yes, I'm biased against all those things. It's no mystery. You know going into it, if you listen to me, I have a very, very strong bias against those things. But I'm also equally biased toward anything that a person can do to improve themselves that God himself has designed for. So I'm not saying that magnesium oxide is not God-designed. It totally is. I'm just saying it's superior when you get magnesium from food. So to make a long story short, almost all the supplements that I utilize that are based on either zinc or magnesium, they're just animal or food-based. And it's no mystery. I use a ton of animal products, tons of them. I know that's offensive to some people, but I'm telling you, after doing this for 30 years, what I've seen work and get a person back up to speed and help restore their health and get them back in good working order. So I would say a lot of the supplements I use, their basis would be calf liver. Because calf liver is going to be one of the richest sources of all the vitamins. I don't know that there's many people that have such a thing as a rich reserve of too many nutrients or a rich reserve of too many B vitamins or vitamin C. Those are things that we probably have to work on because we're living in a toxic planet and toxic world.
Yes, they are.
We're not in the Garden of Eden.
No, unfortunately.
Do you remember, this is your pop quiz today, here's your Bible question. Okay. Was the Garden of Eden found in the north, south, the west, or the east?
I want to say south. Oh, gosh, I want to answer this.
Was it found in the west or the east?
East.
You're right. You're a genius. Way to go.
Dr. Morgan, thank you so much for your time.
You betcha. Thank you very much, and I really appreciate your phone call today, and I wish you the very best. And
thank you.
I count it a great blessing to hear that you named your son Josiah, because that name's got a meaning.
It does.
I can tell you.
We were going to name him something completely different. And it was an awful name. I don't even want to say it.
You don't want to say it?
No, it's awful. But well, a month before I had him, God was like, this is the name that you need to name him.
Can I guess what the name was?
Sure.
You were going to name him Herman, right?
Gunner.
Gunner. Oh, well,
even worse.
Well, but Josiah, I mean, that's a great name.
I agree.
I mean, your son is destined for great, great accomplishments. It's going to make his mama and dad so proud.
I appreciate that. I absolutely agree with you.
Do you know what I appreciate about you?
What?
You never once this morning tried to put the blame on the name Gunner. You didn't pin that on your husband, so I respect you for that.
No.
Because obviously that was his choice, right?
Kind of.
Oh, never
brother.
Mind.
His brother. So, yeah, it's kind
of. Oh, that's just a great story. Well, thank you very much for your phone call.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, if you want to join me on the air this morning, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. Here we go. Good morning, and welcome to the program. How are you?
Oh, good morning. I have a question, sir. The lady I'm taking care of, since late last year, she's been having like little spasms and jerks.
Oh, yeah.
But one of them months ago caused her to fall and break her ankle.
Oh, no. Bless her heart.
Well, it healed up really good, and I'd be walking carefully with her. And but a month and a half ago, I helped her up off the chair, and she took two steps and fell, and now she's bedridden. But I just wondered, I realize I have leg parasites, and I think it's because when the AC flooded that, you know, they have cats. And anyway, I'm just wondering, if she by chance got parasites, could that have been a cause of the spasm and the jerks?
Well, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm not trying to make it fit what you're asking me, but do you remember in the history of our nation they had what were called the Salem witch trials? And what was it, Salem? Was that Massachusetts?
Don't ask me.
Oh, well, it's been so long since I've been in elementary school history, so I don't remember. But they had these people that acted very strange and bizarre. It wasn't normal.
Uh-huh.
And when they've gone back, they're almost positive these people they burned at the stake, proposing that they were practicing witchcraft because of their bizarre mental and emotional behavior. They think it was just a mold. And so have you ever heard that mold is very, very toxic?
Yes. I've been listening to Doug Kaufman now for not quite a year.
Oh, yeah. But to make a long story short, so you can kind of get the idea that a parasite may be some version of a living, whether it's an amoeba or a protozoa or a mold or a fungus or a yeast. That's Doug's favorite word is fungus.
Uh-huh.
I mean, isn't that Doug's favorite word?
It is.
I've heard that he's going to be in the Guinness Book of World Records for mentioning the word fungus over 45 zillion times, and so he's got the record. But anyway, you know, I thought it was comical one day. I was listening to Doug on the radio, and a woman calls in, and she says, Doug, I was playing tennis with my husband the other day, and to celebrate his great shot that brought victory to our team, he jumps over the net, and he lands on the hard court with his arm outstretched, and he broke his wrist. Uh-huh. And I am not making this up, but Doug said, well, that's a yeast problem. I thought to myself, well, it may be a traumatic injury to the wrist, Doug. I mean, maybe it's a fracture. She's just wanting to know what should he do, but he got off on the yeast topic anyway. But, yes, that's always possible. Anytime that you have animals, I mean, animals are well-known carriers of just various sundry parasites and toxic germs, right?
Yeah, so that must be why when they're pregnant, you're not supposed to have cats involved. Those mouths, but you can't.
Well, that's fine by me. I mean, you know, I believe in all that. Well, yes, I am. But what I would say is one of the reasons why I like magnesium also is magnesium greatly increases oxygen delivery to all the tissues. And the last time I checked, if people feel very, very poorly and a physician recommends they take a series of hyperbaric oxygen treatments, maybe what I'm saying is oxygen has got to be one of the greatest healing molecules in the existence of the universe that I know of. And so when people stumble and fall and they have these tremors and jerks and they get more oxygen, are you kidding me? They do better.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know how many paramedics I've spoken to where they said, hey, let me tell you about this call I had the other day. The person was acting crazy and nuts, and I put them on oxygen, and they acted normal within 3 minutes. I'm going, you know what? There's probably something to that. Oxygen may end up being the greatest elixir of all time.
Yeah. Is there anything you take with magnesium for it to absorb better?
Well, you know, I've been a huge fan now, and it's, of course, not everybody likes this stuff because it looks like wet, dirty sand. But it's called Celtic salt or Celtic salt, however you want to say it.
Okay. Well,
but Celtic salt is just naturally rich in trace minerals, but it seems to have a much better base of magnesium and a little bit less sodium. But I love Celtic salt.
Okay, I wrote that down.
If you told me that we're having two eggs over easy at your house and I get to sprinkle Celtic salt on them, and you also have given me half of a delicious avocado with salt on it, I will be at your location in no time. I need to know your exact address right now, and I will come right there after I do this program, okay?
Yes.
But the main thing is it's sugar. This is all a sugar problem. If you can greatly reduce sugar. Now, when I say sugar, I don't care if she has fresh strawberries or blackberries or blueberries.
Yeah.
If you tell me you want to smash up or if you want to put strawberries in a blender with half of a banana and make a smoothie for or a popsicle, I'm down with that action. But it's the refined sugar. The other day I was at a grocery store. I don't need to say which one, but I looked at the second ingredient in all the loaves of bread that were on the shelf, and there were only, I counted, there were 4,032. No, I don't really know how many loaves of bread there were. But the second ingredient is high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, that stuff will kill you. Even my son told me that.
Yeah. But this lady, you're going to have the highest risk of falling and losing your balance when you're low in what's called vitamin B12. The other studies demonstrate that vitamin D plays a powerful role in maintaining the integrity of your nervous system and your musculoskeletal system. So another way of saying this is when someone's low in either vitamin B12 or vitamin D, which is a fat-soluble vitamin, they just begin to shrivel up into nothingness and they lose their strength. So, go ahead.
Would that also affect their ability to take away their appetite? Right now she can barely swallow sometimes. Intravenous or something?
Well, you know what I would do if she were mine?
I'd get her to the hospital.
Did you say
she's... You know what I'm saying.
Well, they'd probably like to put her in the hospital, right?
Well, no, she's... I don't know. I don't know the whole story. Legally, they can't tell me everything, you know.
Oh, doctor, I understand.
Patient confidentiality.
You know what? I would start sneaking her right now.
Uh-huh.
I'd probably sneak her some dark chocolate and some butter and some coconut oil.
Yeah, I told Donna, I said, I'm going to attempt to buy her a chocolate bar because I saw a commercial for it and she likes chocolate, and I thought, well, it couldn't hurt.
Well, no, it's not going to hurt at all. Just get her that high-quality dark chocolate that's pretty low in sugar.
Okay, I guess I'll go to the health food store so I don't get...
You know, they even have those at the grocery stores now, because even the grocery stores have started to figure out, hey, we're losing out because we don't have natural products. And even if you go in the big store that begins with the letter W, you'll see all sorts of products they have, and you're going, oh, my word, they didn't have these a year ago.
Yeah.
But they actually have chocolate bars there that are probably relatively low in sugar. But see, chocolate probably has generous fat compounds.
Uh-huh.
And chocolate's been shown to increase blood flow.
Okay, well, then that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, now, the second question is, I know I got cat parasites, and it's getting pretty bad in my left leg, but the thing is, I noticed that my hair, so I've been trying to grow it out for 2.5 years, and I noticed that it's pretty much stopped growing several months ago.
Well, your hair's made of sulfur, and there's one sulfur-bound herb that I always think of when it comes to parasites.
Uh-huh.
It's called garlic.
Beg your pardon?
Garlic.
Garlic, okay.
See, I know what you thought. You thought, isn't that to prevent vampires from sneaking up on you?
That keep husbands from kissing you, too.
I think you have a good point there. I agree.
Also, I noticed though that my hair texture, when I wash my hair, I'll comb it. Always comb it before I wash my hair. But I notice, I can have at least 3 or 4, one time 5 clumps of hair when I wash my hair.
Oh, bless your heart.
Yeah, and anyway, I noticed how it's going. And quite frankly, to me, it's like the texture you would have somebody who's been passed away for a month. It's just really weird. My leg hair grows, it's not even growing anywhere. But I know that it has to do with kitty critters.
There's not going to be any harm in you going through a trial of garlic.
Okay.
Because most self-respecting worms and parasites don't like the taste of garlic.
Okay.
I can tell you what the amoeba is going to say, or the parasite. They're going to say, well, if this is the way you're going to treat us by giving us garlic, we'll just move elsewhere.
Uh-huh.
But you should try it. But the garlic, that once it's cooked, it doesn't seem to have that strong potential benefit. It's only when it's in the raw form. So
yeah.
that's where a capsule could come in.
Yeah. Okay. Well, since the lady I'm taking care of can't swallow, do they have it like a liquid or anything like that?
They do, but I don't think it's that hard to take a garlic capsule and just open up and put in either an applesauce or put in a smoothie.
She can't swallow.
She can't swallow anything?
No.
Then you can get garlic oil. I'm sorry, I didn't catch on to that as quickly as I should.
Yeah, it's. Oh, I'm sorry, I had my hand over the phone.
No, that's all right. You're doing great.
We're trying to help this lady and keep nutrition, because seriously.
Well, you can make garlic oil yourself.
Get a half a palm of fluid and food down her a day. That's a miracle.
Well, start putting butter in her mouth. Let it melt. It'll just flow down her throat.
Yeah, I've even tried solid coconut oil.
Can she swallow oil? Can she swallow water?
I don't know if she can remember how to swallow, or is she not able? I don't know.
So is she just on a feeding tube of some kind?
She's got Pick's disease. She's got Alzheimer's.
Okay, I got you.
So yeah, we're struggling to keep her around.
Well, you're just the best human being of all time.
Thank you.
You really are. Look at you devoting your life to caring for someone that's not in great working order.
Yeah.
You deserve a gold star in heaven today.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you very, very much for doing things to bless her and to help her.
Yeah, I redialed about 500 times to get hold of you, and so I did.
Well, there was the president was on the phone, but I quickly canceled him in favor of you because I figured this was a little bit more important. But now, Mr. President, you can call anytime you want.
I will, and when I can, I'm going to make an appointment with you for me.
Well, that would be just
our sister-in-law has made an appointment with you, and so
well, that would be very.
I can give Ann the information. She can give it to you.
Good deal. Well, thank you very much, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
You have a great day now.
Thank you. God bless you.
Oh, God bless you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. Good morning. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
My question is, I have a six-year-old ADHD child. We have been doing medicine for 3 years now, and it's just something I'm not happy with.
Well, yesterday I saw an eight-year-old ADHD child, and when I examined the child, she had a complete intolerance to wheat and to peanuts. Her medical history was that she has allergic reaction to penicillin. Guess what penicillin's made from? It's made from a mold. And so when I tested her against mold, she tested horribly. And I'm telling you, if you want to mess up a child's thinking process and behavior, mold can do that in some kids. And so the two dominant organ systems that showed up when I examined the child were the frontal lobe of her brain was not processing information the way it should. And, of course, when you wake up in the morning, if you have ambition and drive and motivation and your brain is organized and you say, this is what I'm going to accomplish today, and you're very happy, that's probably a very good functioning frontal lobe. This would be the exact polar opposite of a person that says, I'm having a hard time getting my thoughts straightened together. I have brain fog. It's not as clear as it used to be. I tend to have brain fatigue that I don't like. That would be ADHD right there. But the dominant organ system was her liver. And, of course, I have tremendous expectations for the child, but I would say part of the process is giving her the nutrients and the foods that she needs to bring her liver back up to full working order, and also to nourish her brain and help cause a little bit of rejuvenation and repair. But all of it hinges on, we got to get the mold out, we got to get the wheat and the peanuts out.
Uh-huh.
So,
and I do this, how?
And, well, I'm just telling you about her.
Uh-huh.
But like, for example, with the peanut thing, well, maybe the child shouldn't be eating 3 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches a day.
Well, yes, that's true.
Anyway, that would be one of them. But that was just what I found with her. But I found a very, what I would call a severe B vitamin deficiency. And so I was looking in a medical textbook probably about 10 years ago, and this is just pure medicine from a medical doctor's point of view. It says, what are the two dominant symptoms of a individual that has low B vitamins? And I know this is just like, it's not even a panacea. It's just like very simple information. It's just irritability, and they're tired when they wake up. Those two issues.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you've probably never heard of a child that was irritable when they wake up in the morning.
Well, no, my child is irritable sometimes.
I'm just saying is that can be a powerful clue because you've got to have... Do you mind if I kind of go off on tangent just for a little bit?
Oh, no, not at all.
If we looked at just one individual cell from the child's brain, we'd call that a brain cell or a nerve cell. Well, when you look at the anatomy of it, you have what's called the cell body, but you have this long structure that goes out of the bottom of it called the axon. And the axon is just like a long tentacle that carries information from the nerve cell, but it ends, and there's a little gap in between there, and that's called the synaptic cleft or the synaptic gap or the nerve synapse. And the other nerve cell that it has to communicate with to cause good body function is called the dendrite. Well, that fluid that's just right there in between the cell axon and the cell dendrite to the other cell, it's totally made up of B vitamins. And so when you don't have that, you have some degree of nerve exhaustion or mental exhaustion. It would be like the car that you drive has a 6-cylinder engine. It probably runs really, really well and efficiently. You can climb hills on the highway. You can park at a steep angle. It's got plenty of power. But if it just has one cylinder that's working, you're probably going to notice there's a significant drop-off in the efficiency of your car, right?
Yes.
So when you're lacking B vitamins, I know this is so simple, you're going to think, God, this is just too easy. But I see this over and over again. When you start giving people that suffer horrible exhaustion B vitamins, they start coming back and going, oh, so this is the way that I'm supposed to feel. I'm going, yeah, do you like it? And they say, yes. Anyway, so that'd be one idea. But you tell me, how do you want me to help you?
I'm just looking for ways to bring him off of medicine because we have went from specialists to this, to that, to this medicine, to this medicine, and he's six.
Well, here's what I'm just not
wanting to put all these narcotics into my child.
You know what all those drugs do? All they do is increase frontal lobe activity. That's the largest part of your brain. So whether you want to call it the frontal lobe is the biggest part of the brain, or the prefrontal cortex, or the frontal cortex, that's where all this good stuff takes place. Not all of it, but a vast majority. So whether it's Concerta or Adderall, or if you want to say crack cocaine or methamphetamines or speed.
You know, and that's how I look at it.
Well, and I'm not trying to be negative by saying that, but you know what? We might as well just call it for what it is. But they're
exactly.
And the thing of it is, if they give it to him, you go, okay, he's actually thinking a little bit more clearly. But the problem is, you know what I learned this a long time ago from an old doctor. He's long since been gone, but he would say, maybe the most important role of a physician is removing any obstacles to healing. But I kind of catch on to things like that, and I think to myself, what if the child is... Now, I'm going to make a joke and just illustrate a point. It's a bad joke, though.
Okay.
You go to church tomorrow morning, and you take your beautiful child with you, and some generous man from church that wants to bless the child, he says, Johnny, I have a bag of Skittles for you. Now, don't tell your mother I gave you these, but I want you to eat them all right now before she comes back from the bathroom and sits down beside you. But I can tell you what, you give a child that has a poor frontal lobe, the frontal lobe is not functioning the way it should, you give that child high fructose corn syrup with, I don't know, how many dyes and colors and chemicals are in Skittles? I don't really know.
Right.
But I guarantee you're going to go from an angel to having a... I'm not going to use the other term, but the child's not going to be behaving just real, real well in about 10 minutes, right?
Yes, exactly.
Do you know what it's like to have a child that sits calmly beside you during church service?
No, not really.
Well, do you know what it's like to have a child really be at their worst behavior of all time?
Oh, yes, I do.
Do you know what thought I had? When I was sitting by my mother, if I even looked at someone to smile or giggle during church services, I would get a firm pinch. I'm not telling you to do that. I can feel her pinching me right now.
Yes.
But anyway, yes. So we have to pinpoint. One of the reasons I'm in favor of a very high-fat diet for kids with ADD, because it helps. That's what your brain's made of.
Uh-huh.
I don't care what the physicians say. Kids need eggs if they want their body to function properly.
Yes. We have a lot of eggs in our diet.
You know what I want to do?
We get a lot of eggs.
You know what I want to do to your son right now?
What's that?
I want him to take your blender, and I want him to be the one responsible for taking a frozen banana and some blueberries or strawberries and putting in there. And I want him to blend it up. And I want you to say, Johnny, look out the window. I think that's Sasquatch running across the backyard. Just as soon as he turns, what you do is you start pouring other things in there that you don't want him to know about. You want him to... What we're trying to do is deceive him into thinking that he made this and there's no extra ingredients in there. But you're gonna pour in some coconut milk, which is rich in fat. And we're gonna pour in some cod liver oil, which is pure brain food. And me being the crazy person I am, I'd probably take some natural B vitamin tablets or maybe a little bit of nutritional yeast and put in there and say, sorry, it wasn't Bigfoot, it was just your father mowing the yard, Johnny. So sorry, I got that one wrong. But you pour those in popsicle molds. And they're frozen. I don't know how long it takes. Can I just say 6 hours?
Uh-huh.
And you say, hey, Johnny, you want a popsicle? It's 98 degrees outside, and the humidity's 4 million. So he says, sure, Mom. But without even realizing, he's going to eat that, and it's real food, and we're going to have different brain function. We're going to start feeding and nourishing the brain. But those would be some ideas.
Yes, and I'm happy with that, because I want a natural way to help my son.
You're just you are the best mom. I really respect you. I think you're awesome.
Well, thank you. I have fought with doctors for 3 years now over this.
Well, what
and
is
they
the...
insist on medicine, and I'm like, there's another way. There has
to
be another
fact,
way.
I know for a fact that you can't tell me that boys aren't more affected than girls, right?
Well, you know, I have a friend back home, and she also has an ADHD daughter, and her daughter seems to have a little worse than my son.
Yes.
But he's a boy, that's true, right? And it is, and, you know, boys are going to be boys, and that's just how I see it, and It's not that he's a bad kid, because he's definitely not a bad kid.
No,
he's super, super smart. He just loses concentration.
Well,
he just loses focus on what's going
on.
I mean,
all you got to do is take away the stuff that's causing inflammation of the frontal lobe of the brain. And then number two, we just have to start feeding him nutrients that help bring it back to full potential. It's easy as that.
Awesome.
Thank you very much for your call. You have a great Father's Day weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Tell your husband I said he's awesome.
It's just, I'm husband and wife.
Oh, well, you're a good mom. Thanks for being a good influence.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.